of all, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, verse 14. Agyascha Ashvadhanascha Samshayatma Venashyati Nayam Lokosti Naparo Nasukam Samshayatmana. Translation. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. Excuse me. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Perhaps we can just repeat this responsively. You can repeat after me. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness.
They fall down.
For the doubting soul,
There is happiness
neither in this world
nor in the next.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And some, even though they have knowledge of or can recite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful, make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world, nor in the next. For them there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith, and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas who are in the disciplic succession and thereby attain success. I'll read the verse again. Agyascha Ashvadhanascha Samshayatma Vanashyati Nayam Lokosti Na Paro Nasukam Samshayatmana. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Namah Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejatarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanichananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatrilibhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha. Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we devotees, we are going to read now two verses, this verse and the following. They're quite different from each other, actually. Or at least this verse, as we read, is describing people who don't have faith, people who are ignorant, people who have many doubts. Whereas the following verse describes devotees who are free from doubt and are nicely situated in Krishna consciousness. We'll read that in due course, but for the time being, let's just focus on this verse here. Okay. That's enough, windows closed. Is he going to close that? Tell him not to. Okay, excuse me. Yes, this is a very important verse. Of course, in one sense, every verse in Bhagavad Gita is very important. Incidentally, devotees, let me introduce to you Yamaraj Das. Thank you, that was nice. Yeah. He's a devotee. From a devotee family. We've known each other, I don't know, it might be 20 years or something. From when he was a little boy. So, he's from Singapore. Okay, so here we are. This is an important verse. And it's, like I said, in a certain sense, every verse in Bhagavad Gita is important or even very important. And this is very important. And it's very relevant because it's talking about faith and difficulties that a devotee may have with faith. Or lacking faith and doubt. Doubt means, of course, lack of faith. It's just another way of expressing the same idea. And that's very important to us because we are not advanced devotees. We're certainly not nothing like Srila Prabhupada. Not too long ago, I think most or all of us were in material life and just caught up in the usual things that go on and the usual perspectives on life that people have when they're on the material platform, isn't it? I think it's like that. And I remember Prabhupada here, it's just the second sentence. Prabhupada says, persons are almost like animals, have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And let me make, I don't know if it's confession or what, but just mention some factual happening in my own life. Prior to becoming involved in Krishna consciousness, It was 1972. Some time ago, 44 years ago or so. I had seen Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came to the university in Auckland, New Zealand, where I was very half-heartedly studying. In fact, I would say very quarter-heartedly, or even less. No real interest, for different reasons. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada came. If I had not been studying even quarter-heartedly at the university, I wouldn't have seen Srila Prabhupada. I wouldn't have been there that day, because it was not a place where I would otherwise have bothered going. So I just happened to be walking through, having been involved in some university-type activities, and who should I see but Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada was the first devotee I saw. I'm sure probably all of you can remember the first devotee you met, whoever that may have been. And perhaps that contact with that devotee stimulated something in your heart, and now you can look back, you look back at it, and then you think, yes, I met that devotee and it had this effect, and it all led to me being here in the temple today, ultimately at this stage. So, yes, because you all were more advanced, I think, from previous lifetimes, you could meet some ordinary, if you don't mind me saying, ordinary devotee. Just, you know, one of the devotees. And they, through that contact, something in your heart got awakened. Me, because I was on a lower level, the only person who could affect me at all was Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna arranged that I had to meet Prabhupada himself. And that had an impact. Otherwise, if it had been just one of you, sort of, so to speak, you know, regular devotees, whatever, then I might have just brushed it off. So, but shortly, my point, what I'm getting to here, I read that part of that sentence Prabhupada was talking about, people who don't have faith in, or even knowledge of, the standard revealed scriptures, that Prabhupada says they're almost like animals. So not long after that, I don't know, just some weeks or so, I met a devotee in the street. And it was someone who I sort of had vaguely known before a bit, and now they become a devotee. And I was interested in these things, and therefore I bought a book from him. And I took the book home, and I started reading the book. And on the first page somewhere, there Srila Prabhupada mentioned the standard revealed scriptures, like the Upanishads and Puranas. And being from a Western background and really having had no real, certainly no in-depth contact with the Vedic tradition practically whatsoever, I read this and I thought, what? Standard revealed scriptures? The Upanishads, the Puranas, what are they? What about the Bible? So, yes, in other words, we're coming from problematic backgrounds. We are. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, some people even though they may have knowledge of these scriptures, and may even be able to cite passages from them, meaning from memory, verbatim, but still they don't have faith in their words. So for these people, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's really a serious problem. To the point that in the verse, Lord Krishna says, and in the purport, Prabhupada also says exactly the same thing, they fall down. Of course, you can. It's difficult to fall down unless you are up. This is a very important point. To fall down, you have to be up. If you're already down, you can't fall down. So, right. But you know, another way of possibly looking at it is that whatever there may be in their lives which might possibly be auspicious or helpful or of some value, directly or even indirectly, is not really going to be able to help them. They're going to lose it. They're going to lose it. Interesting, it may be interesting little case in point. You may be aware, if you're familiar at all with Prabhupada's biography, Leelamrita, there are descriptions in the earlier parts of Srila Prabhupada meeting and doing programs with a, at that time, famous American poet and quite popular public figure named Allen Ginsberg. I don't know if you've heard of him. But in those days, meaning the middle 60s and going on for some time after that, Ginsberg was very well known, very popular indeed, and he was like an authority figure in the youth culture of those days, along with people like Bob Dylan and the kind of, you know, with all due respect, pseudo-intellectual types, and not just the pop singers, but these were more like people who had more brain of some sort. So Ginsberg had contact with Srila Prabhupada. A fair amount of contact, actually. On a number of occasions, they met together and spoke together, and he expressed very appreciative, a lot of appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. And there was a famous festival the devotees arranged for Prabhupada in San Francisco, which at the time was the capital of the youth culture in the world. And Ginsberg came, and Prabhupada had him lead the kirtan. Yes. So this fellow, Ginsberg, he had contact with Prabhupada quite a bit and spoke with Prabhupada on a number of occasions. But then he passed away not long ago, I forget, but I think it's less than 5 years ago. And shortly before he passed away, a devotee met him somewhere in America, probably New York. He lived in New York. Met him. Ginsberg had published some new book, and he was in a big bookshop signing, autographing copies, and the devotee came and spoke to him. And the devotee asked him, do you remember Prabhupada? Hare Krishna, do you remember? And Ginsberg was like, what? Who? No, it definitely wasn't clear at all. At all. So, you know, of course he had that contact earlier, quite some time, like 40 years before. And that benefit will never be lost. But still, he had no, like, serious, solid faith in these things. He really didn't. He was dabbling from time to time. And, you know, he was already a very degraded person in terms of moral standards. And he became, I think, more degraded. And in other words, it looked like that, as being stated here, they fall down. It looked like he had fallen or was falling. Despite having had that contact, despite having some appreciation at that time, and chanting Hare Krishna, these things will never be lost. But certainly on the level of just like practical activity in life, he fell. And it can happen. It can happen. So to develop faith and to develop some understanding, some actual knowledge, and for that to really make an impression on the heart, and for one to become a little fixed in this consciousness, and to be able to become free from so many doubts. This is a very important part of Krishna consciousness for people like us. Yes. Because don't think that you can't fall down. Never think like that. You can. You may be initiated, you may even be twice initiated. You may have been, like in some cases here, brought up in a family of devotees, and it's just been, you know, you are in that sort of atmosphere all the time. But don't think, we shouldn't become sort of complacent that, yes, I know these things. I understand these things. I'm a devotee, so I'm okay. One should not underestimate the power of the material energy. The power of the material energy on one hand, and our susceptibility to that power, the influence of the material nature. Oh yes, both are significant. Both are very significant. And we've seen devotees who were at one point or another, you know, relatively, at least say, popular or influential within the Krishna consciousness movement. We've seen people like that get into great spiritual difficulty. Great spiritual difficulty. Prabhupada once was speaking with a devotee before deity greeting in the temple. I believe it may have been Bhaktivedanta Manor, but anyway, some temple. And Prabhupada was preaching to this devotee, and Prabhupada said, the difference between you and me is that you can fall down at any time, but I will not. And then they went to the deity greeting. And during the deity greeting, the same devotee saw Srila Prabhupada standing in front of the deities, obviously praying. and, you know, with some concentration and focus. Yes. And afterwards, and then Prabhupada gave class, and then after the class, the devotee asked Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada, you were there in the temple room, you were praying. What were you praying for? And Srila Prabhupada said, I was praying to Krishna that I will never fall down. And the devotee was a little taken aback and said, but Prabhupada, you just told me you'll never fall down. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's because I'm always praying that I'll never fall down. So we should, complacency, or, you know, the different ways of expressing it, like pride and that sort of smugness, self-satisfaction, that I'm all right, I'm fine, that's okay. This is a real danger in Krishna consciousness. Better to remain very humble, or as humble as possible, and always in that prayerful mood. And then one will be protected. Because we've seen some devotees, my gosh. I don't even know if I should mention this, but I knew one devotee when I first joined, he was kind of a little senior devotee in London Temple at the time. Senior means, devotees, listen to this, he had been a devotee about 1.5 years. He was a senior man. The times have changed. So somehow or other, he fell down. He actually became attracted. This was in England. He was running some little preaching center in the middle of England, Birmingham, maybe Manchester, sort of the industrial part of England. And somehow or other, he became attracted to a Muslim girl. And in order to sort of get the Muslim girl, he had to become a Muslim. And he did. And not only did he become a Muslim, devotees, I don't know if I should even say it, but he became a Muslim butcher. Yes. Halal, you know, whatever the whole thing is. Yeah. And he was an initiated devotee. Narendra Das. So the possibility of falling down is real. And we shouldn't discount it. And we shouldn't become overconfident that, you know, I'm a devotee. I'm Krishna conscious. I'm all right. But rather we should try and remain dependent. So anyway, the thing here is, there are certain types of people referred to here. Let's just sort of enumerate them. One, there are people who have no faith in the scriptures. And then there are some who even have no knowledge of the scriptures. And then there are some who have knowledge, this is now a third variety, or who may even be able to cite passages from them, but they have no faith in those words. So it looks like we've got three. Oh no, we've got a fourth, it seems. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. So we have four categories. Did you catch it? Those who have no faith in the scriptures. Those who have no knowledge of the scriptures. Those who have knowledge of the scriptures, but don't have faith in their words. And those who have faith in the scriptures, but don't believe in or worship Krishna. Four categories. That's what it seems to be. Yeah. So, Prabhupada says, such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down after a while. You see them for a while. After a while, you don't see them. And you may bump into them somewhere after some time. And oh, where have you been? Well, I just sort of lost interest or something or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. We should be very careful to try and cultivate Krishna consciousness nicely to avoid getting caught up in any of these traps, doubts, samshaya. The word samshaya means doubt. Yes. And asamshaya means without doubt or free from doubt. In Bhagavad Gita, doubts are sometimes referred to as, you know what? Demons. The demons of doubt. Yes. These things can attack. Nasty things can attack. And before you know it, you don't know what's going on. So, yes, faith. How to cultivate our faith. How to avoid doubts. Or not just avoid doubts, but how, if or when doubts arise, how to deal with them, how to overcome them. These are very important subjects for particularly people, devotees, who are in the earlier stages of Krishna consciousness, or any devotees, but particularly those who are in earlier stages. And there's a sort of a simple type of answer to this question. How to develop faith, how to deal with doubt, is to associate with those who have faith, to associate with those who not only don't really have the doubts that you have, but can actually help you solve those doubts, answer those questions, clarify, elucidate those points which you don't understand and which therefore are sort of troubling you. Prabhupada said at least one time, Krishna consciousness is 90% association. Association is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also said it's related. Robert said, if you're not intelligent enough to understand something, find someone who is and ask them. That's a very sort of straightforward approach, isn't it? Yes. So therefore, if we want to overcome these difficulties that are being mentioned here, then we need good association. The problem, or a problem, with not having good association, the problem with that, if you're sort of in a doubtful or somewhat lacking faith type state, the problem with not having association is that you can never have no association. That might sound abstruse, but what I mean is, even if you are on your own, completely isolated geographically, just literally on your own. You are not on your own. You know who is with you? And don't say Krishna. All right, say Krishna. Thank you. How Krishna conscious of you. But even you and Krishna are not on your own. You know who's with you? Your mind. Your mind is with you. And sometimes we say that your mind has a mind of its own. You know, yeah, it's like that. Sometimes the mind just goes off on some track and you wonder, what is going on? Yeah. Yes. Sometimes your mind becomes attached to thinking in some way. And you know, I shouldn't think like this. But your mind is thinking like that. And you tell your mind, listen, stop. But your mind doesn't stop because it's attached. And it goes on thinking like that. So, yes, so we're never alone. Krishna's with us, that's another thing. But the mind is really very present with us. And the mind is very active. And the mind is very powerful. You know the story of the genie and the bottle? You know that story? That story applies. Anyway, I'll tell you that story. Yeah, I was going to say, well, that story applies. If you all know the story, then you're, oh yes, right. And you remember the story. I read a joke once. It was a good joke. A man visited a jokes club. And those people, they had so many jokes, but they knew the jokes so well. Each joke had a number. And all they would do, someone would shout out, number 64! Everyone would roar with laughter. Because they all knew what was joke number 64. Joke number 101. Oh! So this fellow's there watching this. And then someone said, joke number 78. And everyone just screamed with laughter and fell off their chairs. And it was like, it was a riot. And he asked one fellow, now, why did everyone react like that? And the fellow said, it was the way he told it. Anyway, that's just a joke. But the story of the genie in the bottle is that the king, to cut a sort of medium-length story short, the king and his minister got a bottle in which was a genie. They got the genie to come out. And the genie said, look, I'll do anything you like. Anything. The only problem or condition is you got to keep me engaged. If you don't keep me engaged, I'll kill you. So they thought, oh, no problem. We got plenty for you to do. They told him, clean the palace. Off he went to clean the palace. And they thought, it'll take him days, weeks. He was back in 5 minutes. Clean the palace completely. Give me something to do or I'll kill you. Oh, okay. Clean the kingdom. Off he went. They thought it'll take years. He was back in 10 minutes. Clean the kingdom. Give me something to do or I'll kill you. Okay. Fulfill all the desires of all the citizens. Off he went. They thought, he'll never come back. He'll never be able to do that. He was back in 15 minutes. Okay, done that. What's next? Give me something to do, I'll kill you. They couldn't think of anything else. And so the minister, he thought, well, looks like that's it. That's the end. Gangabai ki jai. What is it? Ram nam satya hai. Harikanam satya hai. Something like that. Funeral prayers. That's it. That's the end. We're finished. And the minister said, well, you know what? He told the king, my mother told me that when the time of death comes, I should chant Hare Krishna. And the genie said, Hare Krishna, what's next? And the minister thought, aha, yes, here's an idea. And he taught him the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the genie chanted that and said, okay, what's next? So just do it again and again until further notice. Don't call us, we'll call you. So the genie just chanted Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. And he became a very nice devotee. Yeah. Prabhupada told the story, basically. And the point is that the genie is compared to the mind. The mind is very powerful. It can do many things. But if you don't keep it engaged, it'll kill you. If not literally, and it could even be literally, but if not literally, at least it will kill your spiritual life. Dead. Gone. It'll destroy it. Unless you keep the mind engaged. So association is very, very important. Means, in this context, we mean association of more advanced, spiritually stronger, more knowledgeable, less doubting or not doubting devotees than you. Yeah, we need that sort of association. If we have that sort of association, then these types of problems, we'll be able to overcome them relatively easily. Just as one practical example, that there are people, Prabhupada says, who have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, but don't believe in Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is just a philosophy book for them. Some interesting thoughts, something like that. Or even they may try to follow some of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, but they don't accept Krishna. Prabhupada was invited to a Bhagavad Gita festival in Kurukshetra, the same place where Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And at Kurukshetra, at the place, it's kind of on the edge of Kurukshetra, it's called Jyotisa, which is meant to be where Krishna actually spoke the Bhagavad Gita, the actual place. On the edge of the battlefield, this huge field. I mean, it just goes for kilometers. So Prabhupada was invited by this man who was Bhagavad Gita promoter, enthusiast, like that. And so Prabhupada arrived in Kurukshetra, and the man met Prabhupada at the railway station and drove him out to Jyotisa. And on the way, the man told Srila Prabhupada, we are so happy you're here. We are just so happy because you have taken the message of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. So we cannot wait to hear what you have to say on Bhagavad Gita. But, the man said, but just one thing, please don't mention Krishna. What can you say? It's straight out of this purport. It's just straight out. They have knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. They have some attachment, but they don't accept Krishna. So there are these four different categories. Those who don't have faith in scripture, those who just don't have knowledge of, those who have knowledge, but they don't have faith, and those who have knowledge and faith in the they have faith and knowledge, but they don't believe in Krishna. We should try to avoid the association of such people. And through the association of devotees, and particularly more advanced devotees, we should try to clarify our doubts and really cultivate and develop faith in Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures of Krishna consciousness. And in that way we can progress. Let's read now number 41. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchina samshayam atmavantam na karmani nibadnanti dananjaya. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who follows the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita as it's imparted by the Lord, the Personality of Godhead himself, becomes free from all doubts by the grace of transcendental knowledge. He, as a part and parcel of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, is already established in self-knowledge. As such, he is undoubtedly above bondage to action. So this is the devotee who has good association. And let me mention another form of association is through reading Bhagavad Gita, particularly reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and other of Prabhupada's books, then we are getting the association of Prabhupada, but we're also getting the association of Krishna. Krishna and Srila Prabhupada are both present in these books. And they, of course, they have full faith, obviously, and completely, totally fixed transcendentally. So if we associate regularly with Srila Prabhupada by reading his books, and if we associate with Krishna by reading his books, hearing from Krishna regularly, then this problem of having doubts and these unanswered questions which sort of eat away at our hearts and undermine our inspiration and enthusiasm, these things will be gone. These things will be completely gone. Yes, So therefore, Prabhupada basically insisted, you know, when a person receives initiation, they have to vow two things. One is to, what's one? Tell me. You're from Singapore, you're not meant to say anything. You're meant to vow to do what? Chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follow the four regular principles. What are they? No meat eating, including meat, fish, eggs, onions, garlic. And then, no intoxication, including tea and coffee. No gambling, no, this is sex life. Okay, just making sure you're still here, not only in body. And yeah, so those things are there. But after that, there's a few other things like, which we don't exactly vow in a formal type of way, but they're very important, like to have some regular service. Not just to come and, you know, come and, what is your service? Do you have any service? Oh yes, I have service. I sit in the class. Well, it is a service, so okay. Any other service? Yes, after the class, I eat prasad. Any other service? I come back next week for the class. So we should have some service. But then another thing which Prabhupada really emphasized was that the devotees read his books every day. Every day. Yeah. And Prabhupada, in one of the last purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, the last chapter 25 of the Madhya Leela, just a few verses before the end of the chapter, Prabhupada talks about this. And Prabhupada says, any devotee who does not read all my books, particularly Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, sooner or later will end up simply eating and sleeping and will fall down from Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So at the beginning, I don't know if you were all here at that time, but at the beginning, we were emphasizing that there is danger. There's danger for the aspiring devotees that it's possible. It's not so hard to go off the rails spiritually. It's not so happy. I mean, so hard. Prabhupada once, some devotee had drifted away, and one devotee brought that to Prabhupada's attention and expressed surprise that Prabhupada such and such left Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves. Be surprised who stays. Anyway, I don't want you all to start becoming paranoid. But still, we have to be mindful. We have to be mindful that we have to really keep focused. Yeah. And keep working on our faith. And if doubts arise, then understand that doubts are like demons and they need to be destroyed. And therefore have good association and study Prabhupada's books regularly. And then you'll do very nicely in Krishna consciousness, as Krishna says here. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches. Hare Krishna. We have a few questions here. Let us just try to answer them. We have four questions. How does one stay in faith and keep himself or herself from falling down? How can one increase their faith in Krishna? Well, I think we have addressed that. You know, in a nutshell, stay in the company of those who have faith. Yeah. And try to become a little transcendentally parasitic, if you know what I mean by that. Yeah. Try to draw from them. Try to draw from their hearts. And not that you'll then undermine their spiritual positions, because they're such people that, you know, they can just give everything, but Krishna supplies them more. So, yeah, keep in the company. You should become one devotee. Back in the old days, described it as, you should become a mercy hound. Hounds, you know, you get these bloodhounds and these special hounds. They follow scents. Yeah, they track people and locate people. So we should become like mercy hounds. How to get the mercy, how to get the association, how to get the service, how to get the company of devotees who can really nourish me spiritually. What would you advise someone who's been diagnosed bipolar or whatever mental illness to do when their medication, antidepressants, sedates them and the only side effect that seems visible is happiness, but also anxiety for a relapse? What would you advise someone to do? Chant? Well, yeah. You know, how's the story? We have a few devotees who are bipolar. Do you know what it actually means? We have. We got a few nice devotees who are actual bipolar. Yeah. And other conditions. You know, some sort of... We have two bodies manifest at this stage. We have the gross body of flesh and blood, and then we have the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and sense of identity. So they're bodies. And as your gross body, of course, gets sick or may get damaged if it gets hit by something and eventually just falls to pieces, so the subtle body, mental, intellectual body with our material identity, it can also get into trouble. It can get sick. It can get damaged. You know, people who've been in very severe, like war situations, and they see people just get blown to pieces and just, you know, some very extreme things. It damages their subtle body. And so for years afterwards, it's just they're suffering terrible anxiety and pain in the subtle body because the subtle body got damaged. So, you know, like a chronic sickness, chronic physical sickness. It's possible to get some respiratory condition, some heart condition, diabetes. You know, these are chronic conditions, prostate condition, and so on. These are just ongoing conditions that it's some of them you can't cure, actually. You somehow have to live with it and sort of and manage it. So it's also possible that the subtle body will get some chronic condition and you just have to manage it and keep going, and just you learn how to deal with it in such ways it doesn't really you don't get into some serious difficulty. So for devotees, you know, oftentimes, well, here's an interesting point. Prabhupada once was being interviewed, and the interviewer suggested that Hare Krishna devotees may be a little crazy, because, you know, particularly in those days, nowadays less, but in those days, running around on the streets, jumping up and down, and singing kirtan, which wasn't very musical, and a bit odd from many people's point of view. So this fellow was suggesting that maybe the devotees are a little crazy. And Prabhupada raised the question, who is crazy? And Prabhupada spoke about it, and it's sort of like, not an essay, but a little, if you look it up on the internet, you'll find Prabhupada spoke a piece, who is crazy? And if you analyze devotees, listen to this, you'll find 100% of the population has some sort of psychological things. Some are, of course, much more dramatic than others, but everybody has some psychological condition to some degree or another. In America, for whatever America's worth these days, every American, I read this some years ago in CNN, so it must be right, that every American at least once in their life has to see a psychologist. Yeah, every member of the population. And what does that mean? Just means they start losing it. Yeah. So it may in some cases, and we have experience, in order for some devotees to remain sort of stable enough to carry on, they may need to take some medication. Just as, you know, you can be a devotee, you can be, you know, like a very good devotee, but if you're diabetic, if your body is diabetic, you just have to take medication. That's all there is to it. And if you don't, the body just dies. Like Shruti Kirti Prabhu, I don't know, some of you remember him. Very nice devotee. Suddenly became drastically diabetic. Decided not to treat it. And he died within a couple of years. So it may be some devotee may have some like real clinical psychological condition, not just sort of normal little strange, but some real actual condition. So they may have to take medication to stay stable. But we should all chant Hare Krishna. Generally speaking, if we chant Hare Krishna regularly, anything other than some deep-rooted psychological disease, anything else you'll be able to deal with just through chanting Hare Krishna. What now? How does one protect oneself from offenses caused in the process of executing one's services? For example, devotees take offense when being corrected in their services. So you are trying to stick your nose. That's what you're saying. You're one of these devotees. You have to make comments, don't you? Yes. And tell people, oh, why are you doing it that way? You should be doing it some other way. Yeah. You know, generally, unless it's really critical, unless there's some real danger, just let devotees carry on and serve and be themselves. Don't stick your nose. Yeah. Because your nose might get cut off. Even if devotees, you know, if devotees are doing things in a wrong way, if it's serious, then you may have to say something. If it's not serious, let them carry on. Yeah, just let them carry on. Unless it's your duty. If you are the temple president, then you may have to stick your nose a bit. But even if you're the temple president, don't stick your nose too much. Yeah. But how to protect yourself from offenses in general is, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, construct around you a fence built of the association of devotees. And you stay within that fence. Yeah. And in that way, you'll be protected from offenses practically every time. So here's the last one, devotees. How does one overcome laziness in Krishna consciousness? You know what Prabhupada said? In this movement, there is no place for lazies or crazies. Prabhupada said that. So how to overcome laziness? I'll tell you one very important point. If you understand the importance of something to you, the necessity in a sort of even life and or death type of situation, if you understand the extreme importance of something, you will do it. Yeah. So, if you understand the importance of Krishna consciousness, the importance of getting up early, the importance of chanting, the importance of following the principles and all these things, you'll do it. Because you'll see that it's like breathing. A devotee asked Prabhupada once, do we have to do something? And Srila Prabhupada answered, you actually don't have to do anything. Prabhupada said, you don't have to breathe if you don't want to. Yeah. So, we become convinced through good association, inspiration, the mercy of the Lord, studying, hearing from the devotees, being under their guidance and shelter. We understand the value of Krishna consciousness. We will do it. We will do it. But if it's sort of half-hearted and, you know, maybe and sometimes, then, you know, our activities, our lives will reflect that conviction, that understanding, or lack of understanding. Sometimes people ask about something like smoking, that some people, they want to give up smoking, but they don't. Or they do sometimes, but they take it up again. But then they tell you they want to stop, but then a little later you see them smoking. So what does that mean? It means they want to do two things. They want to stop smoking, and they want to smoke. They're two independent desires which they have. So if we want to be Krishna conscious through understanding the value of it, and, you know, on the other hand, the lack of value of material things, with conviction like that, you'll never be lazy. People will try and stop you. They won't be able to stop you. They won't be able. So it comes down to the faith, the conviction, the understanding, clear understanding. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanandi.